Do you have plans for the early morning hours of Friday, March 14th? You might want to mark your calendar and set an alarm clock to catch a total lunar eclipse. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the science behind this week's lunar eclipse and when to watch is astronomer and host of the Looking Up podcast, Dean Regas. Welcome back, Dean.
Oh, glad to be here.
Always fun to have you in the studio. We have this total lunar eclipse to look forward to this week. We'll get into the precise timing of when. But first, what's going to be happening in the sky?
Yeah, this is those occasions where we have everything lined up. We've got the sun on one side of the Earth, the moon on the other side of the Earth, and the Earth right in the middle. And so during these very rare alignments where everything is just right, you can get the shadow of the Earth cast onto the moon, giving us this lunar eclipse. And this one is going to be really great to view because it's pretty much visible across the entire country. And everybody can watch this as the shadow sweeps across the moon and then plunges it into that eerie reddish orangish color, coppery color, and gives it that nickname, the Blood Moon.
The Blood Moon. And you mentioned the Blood Moon nickname, which I know is not your favorite nickname, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
as
I know.
They say.
I guess I keep saying it more. So I guess it's catchy. It's catchy on me because it doesn't really turn that eerie red color. A lot of the photographs bring out the red that's really in there. So I usually liken it to kind of a pinkish copper penny kind of color. It looks like a penny up there in the sky.
Huh. Why does it turn that color during all this?
Yeah, that's what's so cool about this is that the Earth is causing this. So the sunlight is coming to the Earth, and the bulk of the Earth blocks out the sunlight, but a little bit of it bends off of our atmosphere. So we have our atmosphere around our planet that shifts the sun rays to the red side of the spectrum. And so essentially what you're seeing is the sunlight funneling through all the sunsets and sunrises of Earth onto the moon itself.
Oh, wow. Okay, the big question, when will this be visible?
Definitely a big question because it says on the internet that it's on March 13th or 14th. And so it kind of is on both of those. It depends on where you are. So here in Cincinnati, it starts on March 14th. So that's Friday morning, early in the morning. And so this is before sunrise. That's the big thing. So you either have to stay up late on Thursday night or get up early on Friday morning. But there's two parts of the eclipse that I like the best. The first is when it just begins, and that's the part that you're going to start to see at 1:09 a.m. So yeah, I guess I'll just stay up all night. Why not? So that's when the eclipse begins, when you can see the shadow slowly going across the lunar surface. And then the second best part is totality, which is 2:26 a.m. to 3:31 a.m. So you don't have to watch that whole thing, but set your alarm. If you want to wake up for one part of it, I would say set your alarm for about 2:45 or so. Take a look at it, and then you can always go back to sleep.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're talking about this week's total lunar eclipse, and you can join the conversation. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Do we need any special equipment to see this?
Definitely not. Yeah, this is something you can take very easily. You can see this with the naked eye. If you have binoculars, that's always nice to kind of scan it. But I think it's taking in the whole thing. You see a few different things. You see, number one, how small the moon is up in the sky. When it gets darker, it really does seem like it shrinks. It's still the same size the whole way. But I like to just kind of see the whole sky pretty much. And it doesn't disappear. That's the other thing. It's still there. It's still visible. And some of the other fainter stars will pop out too. Because you go from this full bright moon to this kind of muted, like nightlight moon. That's what it kind of looks like. So, but if you do have binoculars, that makes a good view. Telescope you can do also, but you don't see very much detail because it's a full moon. So, I mean, it's kind of washed out. So you just kind of see the features, but they're kind of blank. And then, of course, people are asking, well, how do you photograph it? Whatever you got. However you got to do it, do it. But no, my phone, just a phone shot handheld is fine. You don't need a long exposure. If you have it on a tripod, that helps. If you attach it to a telescope, that helps. So I just put my phone on this adapter on my very small telescope and take pictures, video, all the whole thing.
And you can look right at this. There's no danger. It's not like a solar eclipse.
Absolutely. I know, because we had that solar eclipse about a year ago, about 354 days exactly, because that's how the cycle goes or so. But it's, one of those things where it's, you don't need any protection for this. Perfectly safe to look at. I just have to get up early for it.
Yeah. Which environments are best for viewing the eclipse? Are there different parts of town or buildings or hills or not hills?
Yeah, with the moon, you don't need a lot of darkness, so you can still see this in the city, no problem. No need to rush off to the middle of nowhere to be able to see this. Of course, that makes it nicer. You see more stars out there, but the eclipse itself is still visible very nicely wherever you are. So it's, pick a place where you're safe to be, allowed to be, not trespassing since it's the middle of the night. But pretty much anywhere that you can see it, anywhere you can see clear skies, go for it.
I'm going to ask a bit of a Debbie Downer question. I want to know how rare these are and if it's a must-see, because this is really late for me to stay up, Dean, really early for me to set an alarm.
Oh, yeah. I know, because some people are
on
different schedules than me, who's on no schedule. So, it's such a cool thing. I mean, this is going to be my 22nd or 23rd lunar eclipse that I've ever seen. I'm just as excited about this one because it's so beautiful, number one. And then number two, the precision of everything lining up just like this, that we have this kind of seat to be able to see this. And it doesn't happen very often. So our next one will be next year, unless you want to travel to the Eastern Hemisphere. There's one later on this year for that. So, eclipses are just one of those things. It's like you get in touch with the universe. And this one, lunar eclipses are so much more relaxing than the solar eclipses. I mean, for solar eclipses, it's whirlwind of excitement for those 4 minutes of totality. This is more like a slow chill. You can kick back, watch how it changes over an hour, over 30 minutes. And it's one of those that, it's to me, this one's like the chill eclipse. So I really like lunar eclipses quite a bit.
Okay. Do you like them better than solar? Is that what
you're
saying?
Well, no, of course not.
Okay,
I mean, that would be ridiculous. I'd lose all my credibility if I said no. A total solar eclipse is by far the best thing you can see in astronomy. I put total lunar eclipse definitely up there. This is It is the top five coolest things. It's just so fun to be able to see.
Okay. And you said your favorite part is the beginning, when it just starts?
Yeah, because also I have a lot of FOMO. So if I don't want to be clouded out of something. So once I see at least a little eclipse, then I can relax and be like, okay, cool. Now I got it. But I like that because you're watching and you could just see it's going to come in from the bottom left side of the moon and you just see a little bite taken out of it. I don't know. It gives me chills. It makes me thrilled to be able to see this. But then I think totality, you can't miss that. It's just the color of the moon is so surreal. It's really cool.
Yeah. I guess if you're if you time it right, you could take a nap in between, right?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Okay. I mean, because that's the thing. Yeah, 1:09 is when it starts. Totality is not till 2:26. So you got an hour and 15 minutes or so. Yep.
What else will we be able to see in the night sky the night/early morning of the eclipse?
So we've got the planet Mars will still be hanging around there looking kind of like a bright red star. And then since you're up later at night, you get kind of a preview of the spring constellations and stars that are around as well. So, Jupiter. Is Jupiter going to still be around? It's close because it should be getting low in the sky. But the constellations of spring will be up there, which would be nice to see. Big Dipper should be nice high up in the sky. I think the moon is definitely the show. And it will just look totally normal when you go to sleep on Thursday night. It'll be just a normal full moon that rose normally. And then if you wake up after 5 a.m. and see the moon in the morning, it'll all be over also. So, yeah, it's the magic happens in the middle of the night.
Ah. Will we need a telescope or binoculars or any other equipment to see those other planets or constellations?
Yes. So to see the other planets, definitely telescopes help. You'll be able to see Mars and Jupiter with the naked eye. They are really, really bright. But to scan around some of the other things, let's see, some of my highlights of the spring sky. We got Leo the Lion will be up there, and Virgo will be up there. So lots of other constellations to look for. Those you just need your eyes. So I think the big thing is, of course, if it's going to be chilly, get a comfy chair, some warm drinks, and make a morning of it.
I like the way you have this very planned out to be comfortable. It's going to be chill. What kind of weather could really mess with this, could really interfere with seeing this? Are clouds the enemy here?
Clouds are the bane of our existence. And Cincinnati in March is traditionally a 50-50 venture. So right now the forecast is good. So I'm hoping that will hold. But that's the thing. If there's some clouds, and then I'll block it out and you won't see it at all. So, but the rule of thumb is if you can see the stars, you can see the moon, you're going to see the eclipse, no problem.
Where are there spots in town that you recommend for getting the best view? I know you said no trespassing. That's very good advice, I think, for all of us. But are there public places that are really your favorites for trying to see this?
Yeah, I do usually go to, you know, one of the Cincinnati parks. I haven't gotten permission yet, so they usually close at 10 p.m.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can't recommend the Cincinnati parks. But really, it's wherever you are for this. That's one of those things. If it's clear, then you're all set. I always get ready for the case of having to travel in case it's cloudy here. Then I will pack up the car and go. And so I've done some pretty late night drives. A couple years ago, I drove to Portsmouth in the middle of the night to get a view, away from clouds. I've driven to Indiana, Illinois, all the places. So this time, please, I don't want to have to drive anywhere, especially at 1 a.m.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have a sunroof or a moonroof so you can just keep driving until you see the clouds are gone?
I do have a moonroof, and you're taking me back because, yeah, that trip to Portsmouth, like, you know, it's so depressing when it's cloudy and you're like, you've been building up this, you're preparing for this eclipse, it's cloudy. And then as I was driving, I'm seeing the clouds part and the moon is there, and it just you're taking me back there, Lucy. Yeah. This is what it, being an eclipse chaser is a thrilling, nerdy ride, that's for sure.
Well, we've got a little bit of time left. What are some of the other exciting astronomical events that we should mark on our calendars for this year, the next few months?
Yeah, well, there's another eclipse coming in 2 more weeks. So this is a solar eclipse on March 29th. Sounds good. Problem is, it's not visible from Ohio. So
womp,
you have
womp.
To be, yeah, I know, you have to be out east, so the extreme northeast of the U.S. and the Maritime Provinces of Canada. That's the best place to see that. So it's only going to be a partial solar eclipse. So that's March 29th in the morning. I'm going to I'm going to watch it hopefully from Salem, Massachusetts. That's where I'm heading for that partial solar eclipse. If folks could get out to the northeast, that's the only place you can really see it at all. And then we got the meteor showers that are coming up. And meteor showers are always hard to predict when they're going to be really good ones. We have the Lyrids. That's in April. 22nd, 23rd is when they peak. And then later on in the year, we have the Orionids. That's kind of shaping up to be probably the best one of the year. So that's in October. And I hate to tell you this, but meteor showers, guess when the best time is to look for them in the day?
Oh, man, is it the middle of the night again?
2 to 4 a.m. But you can still see some shooting stars any given night. And once we get past this lunar eclipse, then later on in the month, people can really get out and do some stargazing where the moon's out of the way and see a lot more stars and constellations up there.
I guess if you can time your insomnia just right, you can really make this work.
Yeah, absolutely. I always lament the thing that we can never get a lunar eclipse on a Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. or, you know, prime time eclipse. And I can remember one time that it did fall on a Saturday night. And wouldn't you believe it? It was cloudy that night. So we missed. That was the only Saturday night eclipse I've ever had, and I missed it.
Yeah. So where have you gone? You said you're an eclipse chaser. Where are some of the other places you've gone to see these?
Yeah, for lunar eclipses, other than packing up my car and going to odd parking lots around the town and stuff like that. So I go from the gamut of a Cracker Barrel parking lot in Effingham, Illinois, Chuck E. Cheese parking lot outside Dayton. It's real exciting stuff, isn't it? But then I've also had some views from Lake Tahoe, seeing an eclipse out there at Lake Tahoe. And probably my most memorable one was at the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, where the volcano was going off in the background with the blood moon up above it. That is one of those things I'll never forget.
Oh my gosh, that sounds spectacular.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Did you get some good pictures, or were you too focused on actually experiencing it?
It's hard to get lava and an eclipse at the same time. So it was it didn't work out as a juxtaposition, but it, for your eyes, I soaked it all up.
Good for you. Well, we're talking about the moon. I understand that our super moon, we've got that to look forward to later this year in November. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's the largest, closest full moon of the year. This is another kind of term that's a little bit made up, kind of like blood moon. Super moon is something that you can really tell the difference in the size of the moon from when it's closest to when it's farthest. And so it really does light up the night. So that'll be in November. There's a couple other closer ones around there, or close approaches that are almost the same distance around then. But November, if I'm going to call something a supermoon, I'm only going to do one a year. So that's the superest of the moons.
The superest moon. There's a less supermoon.
I know. The internet likes to hype up these other supermoons. Like you have three when they're kind of close. But let's just pick one. We'll make the holiday about that one.
Yeah. We're going to pick a winner. It's not like we're not giving participation trophies to these moons.
Well, it was one of those things where it's a totally made up term, first off. But second off, then they tried to make it scientific. Said, oh, when the moon is within 1% of its farthest, then it's a supermoon. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. All right, well, we'll have an event. We'll let people see it. So that sounds so good to me. As long as people go out, that's the thing, is in any way we can get an excuse for people to stargaze and moon gaze, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, and we've got the summer solstice coming up in June. Do you have special ways you celebrate that?
Well, we're getting a lot more daylight, that's for sure. And I'd be really curious. I don't know if we can do a poll over the air really quickly, but I'm always curious to see what people think about the time change. And I usually don't care, but boy, today's the first day, full day.
Yeah, no fun.
I'm not liking it. But summer also gets a little difficult for stargazing because it gets dark so late. So in Cincinnati, sunset's almost 9 o'clock in the middle of summer. So the time change is, we would often call it, my colleagues and I would call it the anti-astronomer time, is when we get on daylight time because of how late it gets dark to do stargazing. But for folks that are looking to get out and do some this summer, I'd highly recommend going to the national parks, getting away from the city lights. There are some really amazing dark sky parks out there. Folks probably know that I go to the Grand Canyon quite a bit, but there's also Bryce Canyon and lots of other parks around that do stargazing programs. And it's just amazing how many stars you can see out there.
Yeah. Well, I have mentioned, of course, that you were the host of the podcast Looking Up. I understand your most recent episode, you talk with Dr. Cyan Proctor. Can you tell us a little bit about that conversation?
Sure. Yeah, the episode just came out, and it is, I talked to Dr. Cyan Proctor, who is the private astronaut. Basically, she went on the all civilian mission that went up and orbited the Earth for several days. And her story of going from just kind of a businesswoman, an artist, to being an astronaut is fascinating. And just the idea of, when we talk to astronauts, they are kind of like, they're like better than us. I mean, let's just be honest. They're just like the best of the best. And talking to somebody who's like had similar upbringing about what the experiences of going up into space, she really described it so well. And it was one of those things where, she's on the launch pad thinking about just fulfilling a dream, basically going to space. Who would have ever thought that she would have been able to go and to do it and come back and have these great insights. So that's what we covered in the podcast this week.
Would you ever want to be an astronaut?
I would. I think it'd be fun to go through the training, and I would do a short mission. But going to the moon missions right now, they're looking like they're about 11 days long. I think I could probably handle that. A Mars mission would be 26 months long. So I think I'd pass on that, but I don't know if they're calling me up or anything. But NASA, I'm in the book if you need somebody.
There you go. And the International Space Station, you get there and you might not get to come home. That can be a long one.
Yeah, that's a that's an interesting story. I think a lot of people were surprised, and I was one of them, that was the plan. Okay, they're going to stay there. I was like, oh, all right. We don't have another spacecraft laying around?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep. That's one of the, I guess that's why it's, you got to be good to be an astronaut.
Well, and I've never met the two astronauts that are up there, but knowing how they go through this, I doubt that they are really upset. This is what they live for. And I think a lot of astronauts do so great up in space that they miss it so bad.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with astronomer and host of the Looking Up podcast, Dean Regas. Thanks so much for your time today, Dean. It's always a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Keep looking up.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.